You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to this program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome you in the love of the Lord. And we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour.
Amen.
Pastor Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for 21 years. Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida. So we're honored to be here with you.
Amen.
We're honored to be part of WCNO Radio and all that they do as well. And so we welcome you to the program. If you've never listened to the program before, well, just have ears to hear what the Spirit's going to tell you today. And we hope you'll learn something that'll help you. You heard the intro. We do a lot of things with the Jewish roots and the Hebrewism and all that we need to know about the God's appointed times and all that. We'll discuss some of this today. And so we welcome you, as we said, wherever you're at, if you're at home, if you're in your car listening on the radio, if you're on the internet someplace, we just greet you in the love of the Lord.
Amen.
And we're here because we want to see people raised and brought to a new dimension in the body of Christ. And Jesus said, when you know the truth, it will make men free.
That's
so
right.
We want to give you some things that will help you understand the things that have been taken away from us. You know, we've been robbed of our Jewish roots and all that. So we're going to share a few things here today. I think it will help you maybe understand some things. And here we are tomorrow, Sunday. What's going to happen? The majority of the church will be celebrating what? Resurrection Day. And so we're going to talk about the resurrection today. It's probably the Passover and the resurrection. You can't separate the two. Are the most important events that ever happened in history. You know, that's why everything in the first covenant was pointing to that day when the Messiah would come. And so it's an incredible, you know, just to understand the depth of it and how much more God wants us to know with it. So we're going to release ourselves, and we're going to release you listeners as well, to hear the voice of the Lord and to have ears to hear. You might even want to take a few notes as we teach on this. So we're just going to sit down here with you for a little while and discuss some things. It's an incredible time. Here we've got another resurrection day coming again. And so we just thank the Lord for that. So as we open up with this, I just feel like praying a moment, Pastor Don.
Amen.
So Father, we just bring all the listeners, wherever they are,
yes,
before Lord. You today, in the name above all names, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you gave us, what you did, and obeyed everything that your Father asked you to do, even to the point of death on that cross.
That's right.
And because of that, you said, and Paul wrote it in the gospel, or in the letters in the New Testament, because you were obedient to that, Father, you gave Yeshua a name above all names, because he even went to the point of dying on the cross, and you said you gave him a name above all names, that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether in heaven, in earth, or beneath. What an incredible thing to think about what you've done for us. And so let us glean from the things that we talked about here today, Father. And so we release all the hearers right now.
Thank you, Lord.
We release them right now to hear the Spirit, what you're saying to them. Even as our Lord spoke in the book of Revelation about those seven churches, have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to every one of us, including Don and I as well on this program. So we release ourselves to you right now. We thank you for all the listeners, wherever they are. Bless them, Father God, as they think about tomorrow and what it represents and all. So we just release it all to you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. And we say in Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you,
Lord. So we're going to talk about this a little bit. You got anything you want to mention here, honey, on the calendar?
I just want to give our phone number and let people know that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Friday night services at 7 p.m. And then we have Saturday classes at 4 and sometimes a video. And then we pray and worship the Lord for a while in the evening. And then on Sunday, we have Sunday morning worship. God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Hallelujah.
And that's the name of the ministry. The church is Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And we're here in Stuart, Florida. So if you'd like to come and visit us, we'd love to have you come. Many people come from the radio program and just visit. Because this program goes quite a ways. And also we're on the internet, so if you are driving down 95 or the turnpike and you don't live in this area and you'd like to listen to this program again, you can listen to it on Saturdays at on WCNO.com.
Amen.
And I'll give you the phone number. You can call and get more information if you'd like, and if you'd like a calendar, so we're just blessed to be here on this radio program. And we've been on here how long now?
Over
16 years.
Over 16 years. In
so
July,
it's been a blessing.
It'd be hard to believe. It'd be 17 years.
17 years in July. So if you'd like to send a love offering or to help out with the ministry, it would be much appreciated. We know God takes care of everything because He's in control. Amen. So if it's church services, if you'd like to come, I'm going to give you a phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. It's area code 772-285-7007.
Give them the address of the church, or they can mail the offering if they want to get something.
If you'd like to do that.
Or give an offering to the church.
Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Yeah.
Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida 34995.
That's right.
Amen. And like I said, WCNO.com. You can go listen to us on the internet. And you don't just have to always rely upon the radio, which is wonderful. So it goes around the world, and anyone can listen to it anywhere. So you can tell your friends and family, and they may be blessed by it as well. Because we all need to know more about the Feast of the Lord.
Amen.
And Pastor Gene has the commentary teaching on the Feast of the Lord, which is probably one of the most complete teachings that I have ever seen or heard. And it refers to the coming of the Lord. And, He's going to fulfill all these feasts.
Sure,
looking for days, and we're looking for other things. People are looking. We should know the times and the seasons. The Bible says that. But we're not going to know the day or the hour. Pastor Gene doesn't know it. No one knows it. But we should, and we do know the times and the season. We're supposed to be looking.
Amen.
And be supposed to be watchers and watching. So we need to know these things, and they're all revealed in the Feast of the Lord. And one of them is Passover. Yeshua fulfilled that. We're still in the Passover season,
Pastor Gene.
Jesus, Yeshua, he celebrated Passover. He is the Passover lamb.
That's right.
He is the Passover lamb. And
it's all about him.
He did fulfill the prophecies that were spoken of him. And he is not dead. He is alive.
Hallelujah.
He did die, and Satan thought he had him, but he rose on that third day. And
he was
in the grave 3 full days three full nights.
Amen.
So he didn't die on a Friday. He had to die on a Thursday. So, but anyways, either way, he rose from the grave, and he is alive and well. And it's what's important is, Yeshua celebrated all these feasts, and he celebrated Passover. And like I said, Passover is still not going to be over until the 21st of this month.
That's right.
So, but we're here to talk about the resurrection, because without the resurrection, we wouldn't have our salvation.
We'd still be in our sins, wouldn't we?
That's right. Yeah, we wouldn't have our deliverance.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
The Jewish people were delivered because of the blood, because they were obedient and they applied the blood to their homes. We must receive the blood of Yeshua if we want our sins forgiven.
That's right.
It's more than just knowing in your head. It's in your heart that you receive Him, and that your sins are washed away from as far as east is from the west. And so there's going to be a lot of people that may be going to church this Sunday that don't go
any other time. That's right.
And I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, because we shouldn't forsake the assemblings of ourselves together, and we should be somewhere where we're going to be taught the truth.
That's right. Hallelujah.
The Bible says the truth will make us free, and we need to know these things. And And we need to know that, you know, once we're delivered and once we apply the blood, that we must start to walk a holy life.
Amen.
It's about that, walking a holy life. Jesus, he said, we're supposed to be holy, even as the Lord is holy. So, and how can we do that? It's by the Spirit, because man can't do it on his own. You need to have the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost dwelling
Absolutely.
In you.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, abide in me, right? He abides in the Father, and we abide in him. And so we're able to overcome the works of the devil.
He's the vine, we're the branches.
if we listen to the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey and to Daryl and Judy and to my brother in Australia.
Hallelujah. He's listening.
And, you know, people all around, whoever's listening, we just want to say hello to you, because we find out people have been listening to us for maybe 2 years. A lovely lady came to church on Sunday
and
she's been listening to us for
two years. That's right.
What a blessing, you know, because we don't always know. We don't always hear from people. So, and to Judith down there, and who's our prayer warrior, I'll say hello to her. And just, you know, many, many people out there are praying for us, and Sandy, and just a whole bunch of them. We just say hello to all of you and thank you. And we just want to say, have a blessed resurrection day.
Amen. And so I'm so glad that Roscoe and Audrey's got that new computer that gentleman here we know quite well fixed it up for them.
That's
and so they're going to be able to hear the
program.
Bob,
amen, wherever he's at.
Bob McKnight. And so,
glory.
So anyway, we just trust Roscoe and Audrey walks that you can enjoy the program. And we love you very much. You know that. We keep you in prayer. And so.
And we want to praise the Lord that Paige is out of the hospital.
That's
recovering.
Right.
There's
mm-hmm.
so many good things. We have so many things to be thankful for.
That's right.
This resurrection time, you
amen.
Know, because God is good. God is so good.
He's good all the time.
He loves us. And, you know, out from the grave, he rose, right?
That's right.
And praise God for that.
So we're going to talk about the resurrection. I was trying to think this morning, when I got up, what kind of sequence we could do this, because there's so much you could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in the commentary, my book, I had to do two lessons in that book to cover, and each one of those, the teaching was for 90 minutes. I had to do two of those to cover all the aspects about the resurrection out from among the dead and all that. Well, we know that Yeshua came, and if you've been with us any length of time at all, we know that the Passover day, first fruits, which is the resurrection, unleavened bread, and Pentecost, those things have all been fulfilled in the Lord's life, okay? And so there's a purpose for all of it. But we got three in the latter part of the year that's going to come, but we're not going to talk about those today. We always want to talk about the resurrection, because we mentioned last week, and I mentioned many times, that the Passover season is the most important event that ever happened in history. All the Old Testament prophets were looking to that day. They knew there was going to be a Messiah come. They didn't know who he was, but they knew he was going to come. And today they're even looking for a Messiah. They think he's on the earth, another man. Well, we know that no one is qualified to be the Messiah, because we've all sinned and missed the glory of God. There's only one man that's qualified, and he never sinned. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the only
one
that's qualified.
The only begotten Son.
The only begotten Son of the Father. So thank God for his resurrection. So we're going to start here about some things that he said, and then I'm going to take you over to Matthew chapter 28, and then we want to go over to the first covenant over in Leviticus chapter 23 and look and see how some of these things were put in place. And God just didn't make these things up for Israel to do something. They had a historical aspect, we know that, but also it was something very prophetic to the future. Think about this. We talked about the Passover last week so much. When they came out of Egypt, okay, well, it was a whole pattern about what was going to happen to what? To our Savior. Well, you know, when they came out and God established the Passover, they rehearsed that for about 1,500 years. It was a rehearsal. It was a holy convocation. It was a rehearsal. And then one day, it became the real thing when Yeshua came to this earth. It's incredible when you think about it.
And you know, the other thing, Pastor Gene, is so many people, they don't get into the, they just stay in the New Testament, because they figure, well, the other is already past, it's gone. You know, why do
right.
I need to go back there? But, you know, history repeats itself, and God works in cycles, and he works in the cycles of his feasts. Yearly cycles by the moon.
That's right.
And these blood moons that we've been
mm-hmm.
talking about, that are,
you got it.
We've already had one, we're going to have three more. You know, these are signs in the heavens. The Bible talks about that in Genesis 1, about the signs in the heavens. And so here we're seeing prophecy fulfilled. So we need to know about these feasts of the Lord, because these are the, you know, they're not just for the Jews. You know, God chose the people to use the Jewish people. But even before that, God had a plan. And, you know, God's plan has always been the same. And, you know, God knew his plan for Yeshua was already in plan before. It wasn't just something that he thought up.
Before the foundation of the world.
Right, that he thought up, you know. And years and years past, you know,
right.
Adam. No, he had this. He had this plan already. So God's plan is already in place, and you know it's going to be fulfilled. Every single word, every single mm-hmm. prophecy, and many prophecies have already been fulfilled, and we're coming down to the close of these prophecies being fulfilled.
Absolutely.
And so we know God doesn't change. The Bible says God doesn't change. Is I'm God and I change not. You know, and so here even in Yeshua, even in God's God's plan, his son already was in that plan even from the beginning, because
Absolutely.
God loves us.
Sure
God
does.
Loves us, and so he loves us, and that's why he sent his son.
Amen.
to take on to do what we couldn't do.
That's right.
And to bring deliverance to us, and to bring us so we can be in the kingdom of God, because you know this life is short.
Sure.
I mean,
is.
You live to be some people don't even live to be 40,
yeah.
Pastor Gene. I mean, we're mm-hmm. blessed to be at the age we are. Some people live to be 100. But, you know, 100 is not very old when you're talking about eternity.
That's right.
When you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands and who knows how many hundreds of thousands of years, we're either going to spend with the Lord eternally or people will be in hell eternally.
That's right.
So
Hallelujah.
He sent his son because it's not that he would want
any to perish.
To
That's
perish
right.
Or anyone to go to hell. But, you know, God has a plan, and he even has a plan now. Even if we watch the news and see what's happening with Russia and the things like all these things, you know, we can see how God uses even the enemy. Look how he used Nebuchadnezzar. He uses these different people to fulfill his plan. And if we are just alert, we can see the things that are even happening in the world today to use certain people to put his plan in motion.
That's right.
So his plan is in motion. It always has been and always will be.
That's right.
Until the very end.
Until the very end.
And so, you know, Yeshua fulfilled his plan, but mm-hmm. he's sitting next to the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us, just encouraging us, wanting us. You know, the veil has been rent. We can go boldly into the throne of grace, and we can go to the Lord. You know, there's no more veil. There's no more veil. We can go into the Holy of Holies and
That's
worship
right.
him and hear his voice.
That's right.
So many people don't know how to hear his voice.
Amen.
And so God speaks to our heart. He doesn't
That's
always
right.
speak to us audibly out loud. He could, but most times God speaks to the heart.
That's right.
Praise God.
So I'm going to take you over to 1 Corinthians 15 and
mm-hmm.
read a few verses here. And then we're going to go back into Matthew. And then I want to go over to the First Covenant also. I'm looking at verse 13 in 1 Corinthians 15. It says this, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." That's a fact. He come out, so that means we're going to come out. So we might go on down and read a little bit. "For if the dead rise not," in verse 16, "then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain," means it's empty. "You are what? Yet in your sins." Isn't that true? "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ," as Christ is a man, a human on the earth, "we are of all men most miserable." Well, he was more than just a human person, wasn't he? He was what? He was the God-man, hallelujah. And he walked this earth and he died and rose from the grave just like he said he was going to. Now, verse 20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become what? The first fruits of them that slept." So that word first fruits is very important. "For since by man came death," we know that was Adam.
Amen.
"By man," which is Yeshua, "came also what? The resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, if you know the Lord."
Thank you, Lord.
And then verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ what? At his coming." So this whole chapter 15 is talking about the resurrection of Christ, and also that we will be resurrected also in the days ahead. So tomorrow, the church will be celebrating what? Resurrection Day. So
like to use the word Easter.
That's right.
And many people do, but
it's
we
a pagan
don't.
Thing,
there's
yeah.
a reason. It's
That's
pagan.
Right.
You know, the enemy even tried to get paganism into the resurrection.
That's
and
right.
he did a good job of it, didn't he?
That's right.
Because a lot of people really don't understand
Right.
the fulfillment of this Passover season.
That's right. Like some people pick on the King James Bible because the word Easter is in there. It's the word Pesach in the Greek. But there was a reason the translators, and I'm not going to get into that today, there's a reason why they did that, because there was a Roman holiday at that time also. And what was it called? It was called Easter. And he was wanting them to understand all about this. Well, we're not going to get into that, but that's why it's in the Bible. Okay.
See, the enemy always wants to bring a mixture.
Sure does.
They don't want to stay with the clear
That's right.
Word of God.
Yeah.
He always wants to bring something mm-hmm. in, and these pagan gods. They wanted God, but they also wanted to keep their old ways.
That's right.
And what's in the world today? People want God. They want to be saved, but they still want to live in their old ways. They still want to live in their sin. They still want to do things that the pagans do.
That's right.
Well, God, we need to put away all that paganism and be a true Christian.
That's right. God doesn't save you in your sin. He saves you to get you out of that
out
sin.
Out of it.
Okay. Now, I'm going to take you over to Matthew 27 now. And I want to show you something. This is very interesting. I was thinking about this morning. And what we see right here is going to be, remember this. Hallelujah. Husamam the name of Yeshua had to fulfill everything that was written in the first covenant. Every single thing. And I mentioned this before at church, even the Passover. I've talked to a lot of pastors, and I've asked a lot of them, why was Christ on the cross or the tree for 6 hours? I didn't get an answer. Well, the answer was he had to fulfill what? Everything that was written in the first covenant. He had to fulfill the morning offering at 9 and the one between the two evenings at 3 p.m. That's why he had to stay on there for 6 hours. So he had to fulfill every single thing. He had to cross every T and dot every I, or he could not have been qualified to be your Messiah. Hallelujah. And so we all need to understand that. So I took you now to Matthew 27, and let's take a look at this. I'm going to start in verse 50 with you. Ready? Here we go. Jesus, or Yeshua, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, he died. And behold, listen to this, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You know, I thought about this. You know, when the high priest, if he did anything contrary to what he was supposed to, he had a special collar that he had on his garment that was double reinforced. And if he did anything, he would blaspheme or do anything wrong. Well, when he mourned about something, or like something that was very serious, and he was mourning about that, well, if he ripped his collar like we see the high priest did in Yeshua's day when he came before Pilate and all that, and the high priest was there, if they ripped their collar, it was like saying, I'm being removed from my office of high priest at that particular time. Well, I thought about this. You know, God ripped his collar. That veil was his. You know, that's what was the entrance into the Holy of Holies. And so he ripped his collar. So what? So you and I, because Jesus rose from the grave and died and all that we can go boldly into the Holy of Holies today. We don't have to stay out in the outer court. Aren't you glad with all that? And so it says right here, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God did this, okay? And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. It means the rocks split. And the graves were opened. Now listen to this. And many bodies of the saints which slept, that means they were dead, they arose. They came out of the grave. Now listen to this. And came out of the graves after his resurrection. It couldn't be before. They came out after Yeshua rose from the grave 3 days later, okay? Now listen. And went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So people must have recognized him. Now, we don't know how many they were, but there was a lot of them. And more likely, they were maybe there's some of the first covenant people that died, and he let them come out. Now, listen to this now. Verse 54. Now, when the centurion, remember, this was a Roman soldier, and they that were with him, watching Jesus or Yeshua, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Wasn't that incredible to think about that? Huh? Glory be to God. So here we see this. And so there was a token resurrection, I like to call it here. There was a sign. There was a certain number of saints that came out of the grave, and I believe with all my heart that they were put into supernatural bodies just like Jesus was. See, it says here, after his resurrection they came out. I believe they were put in supernatural bodies just like he was, and eventually, when he went back, he took them to heaven with him. But it says right here, they appeared to many in the city. They saw these people walking around. They knew they had died. So there must have been some people they recognized also. Not only the first covenant people way back that they wouldn't recognize, but there must have been some that died at that time that they recognized. Now, with this thought, let's think about this. Why would Christ do this? This is what I was thinking about this morning. Well, we have to go back to the first covenant. Remember, prophetic things, God's going to tell us the end from the beginning, not the end from the end, okay? He's not going to do that. So I want to go over to Leviticus chapter 23. If you've ever read this, I hope you have. This is when God established his appointed times. Now, there's seven, but there's actually eight because the Shabbat is one of them. The Sabbath is one, okay? So I'm going to go over to chapter 23 with you, and let me show you a couple of things here. We're going to see how the Lord had to fulfill what we just read there. He had to be your Messiah. All right, I'm in chapter 23. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start at the beginning here. Chapter 1. verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord. See, they're not Jewish feast. They're the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be what? Holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Now, holy convocation was a rehearsal, but it was also called a high Sabbath. There's seven high Sabbaths that revolve around the seven appointed times. Now, they have the weekly Sabbath, but they also have what? High Sabbaths. That's why we're not going to get into that day, but I think we proved that the other day, why Yeshua couldn't have rose on Friday, because there was two Sabbaths the week that Yeshua died. They had the high Sabbath, the first day of unleavened bread, and they had the weekly Sabbath. This proves all this, but I'm not going to get into that. We talked about that last week and the week before. But these were holy convocations, and then verse 3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day, what, is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation again, okay? You shall do no work therein. It is what? The Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. So the weekly Sabbath is very important. Amen? We've talked about that a lot in the Bible. You know, some people fuss about what day you go to church and all that. Well, we do both. We have our Sabbath on Friday night, and we also, what, honor the Lord, the resurrection, and all that when you get on the first day of the week. Now, here we go. Verse 4, these are the feast of the Lord, even holy convocations again. These are dress rehearsals, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. The 14th day of the first month at eve. This eve means between the two evenings at 3 p.m. is what? Is the Lord's Passover. All right, we talked about that last week over in Exodus. And on the 15th day of the seventh same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, this was the beginning of unleavened bread. Unto the Lord 7 days, you must eat what? Unleavened bread. Verse 7, in the first day you shall have what? A holy convocation. All right, it's a high Sabbath again. You shall do no servile work therein. Verse 8, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days, and the seventh day is a holy convocation. It says, you shall do no servile work therein. So it shows you it's a Sabbath. Now, here we go. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying this, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you. Remember, it was delayed for a long time because they got disobedient.
Right.
And before they got into the land. But when you come into your land, he said, which I give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of what? Of your harvest unto the priest. This is the first fruits of the earth. Now think about it. At Passover, what was the crop? It was barley, wasn't it?
Barley.
So they brought a sheaf of barley into the temple, and they had to wave it before the Lord. So this is incredible. And so the interesting thing, when you think about this, first fruits is also, Donna, a pattern of what? The resurrection and the catching away. Because the priest had to bring that barley loaf, or not the loaf, but the sheaf of it to make barley bread. They had to wave it before the Lord. And so that had to be done. And then when they did that, what did they do? Then they went out and they told the people, then go harvest the rest of the field. So picture what? Harvesting the world. So there'll be a first fruits resurrection and a catching away coming first. And then what? The rest of the world will be harvested at that time. It's an incredible picture.
Thank you, Lord.
Now look at this. So they did this at first fruits. I'll read the tail end of it. There, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now, a sheaf would have hundreds and hundreds of kernels of barley seeds on it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus was what? The first fruits. We just read that over 1 Corinthians 15. Now, verse 11. And you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, we just mentioned that, to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So what's the morrow after the Sabbath?
First day of the week,
okay? So listen to this. They had to wave it before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus had to fulfill that. Well, how did he fulfill that? He allowed all those saints that had died to come out of the grave, and it was like a sheaf of barley going up to the Lord, and he took those men and women to heaven, and he basically waved them before the Lord. It was first fruits after his resurrection. Remember, it had to be after his resurrection.
So these were people that had died. That were in Abraham's bosom, actually.
Right.
They weren't over on the other side.
Yeah, that's right.
The big gulf?
No.
Gulf,
they were in paradise. Or Abraham's bosom.
In paradise.
And so he's revealing this to us, that he had to fulfill that. And so how do you do that? He was the first fruits, and then those that came out after him that he allowed to come out, they were a picture of the sheaf that was going to be waved before the Lord. It's incredible. Now look at verse 11. And you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So what day was this on the Jewish calendar? This would be Nisan 17. It's called First Fruits.
And so, who is the priest? Yeshua as the priest.
That's right.
He waved it, he took it to the Lord, and that was on that's the day of the resurrection.
That's right. We just read that in Matthew chapter 27.
Nisan 17.
That's right. So he took those saints to heaven, waved those men and women before the Lord, offered them to the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Now verse 12 says, "And you shall offer that day, when you wave the sheaf, a lamb without blemish," hallelujah, that was Yeshua, mm-hmm, "of the first year, for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour, mingled with oil," representing the anointing, "and an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God.
Amen.
It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling on all your dwellings." So they couldn't harvest any other field at all until those came into the priest. And they have a group of people in the priesthood would go out and they'd pull out a big sheaf of this. And when they waved it before the Lord, well, then the rest of the people were released to go out and what? Harvest the field. And if you read Matthew 13, the field is what? A picture of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we show. So there's going to be a first fruits are going to come. And then what? Then the Jacob's trouble will come. I think it's obvious what God's showing to us here. So here we see that Yeshua fulfilled all this. Okay. Now, you know, tomorrow will be the resurrection day. Well, and then in Yeshua's day and also in the first covenant, what happened? Once the resurrection day came, okay, well, then they began to count what?
The Omer
to 50 days to the early wheat harvest. And so this is what it's all about, showing this. And so,
well, seven Sabbaths plus one.
That's right.
It will come bring you to the day of Pentecost.
So they came out to Pentecost. Why they do at Pentecost? They had to pull out a sheaf of wheat now and bring
wheat.
It and wave it before the Lord. Same thing. And so the three harvests that God required all the males to come to, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, mm-hmm, they were all harvest festivals and appointed times, and they all had to wave this. And it's a pattern showing us three times in the Word of God that there's going to be a resurrection and a catching way to fulfill all that in that day, just like our Lord did.
Wasn't that wonderful that, you know, Yeshua, he stayed, he came back to this, after he went to see his father, because he told, you know, Mary in the garden, "Don't touch me, I have to go to the Father." After when he came back, he spent, 40 days with his disciples,
right,
teaching them and talking about the things of the
kingdom of God. Yeah.
And then, 10 days before Pentecost, he told them, he says, "Now you wait, you tarry here in Jerusalem," because that's when the Spirit of God was poured out.
Right.
And so and they all knew it was going to be Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, they were in the upper room. They were waiting. It wasn't just men either. It was men and women.
They didn't know what was going to happen, but they were waiting, weren't they?
They knew something was going to
happen because God told them so.
They knew something had happened at Pentecost in Moses' day.
That's right.
So they anticipated something that was going to happen. And Yeshua, he told them, because he left. He says, they saw him leave, but he told them to wait and tarry in Jerusalem until that day. And so they knew it was coming. So they were in anticipation. And you know what? They were in one accord. They were praying. They were seeking the Lord. And because they had been counting those days of the Omer. And that's a lot of things that people don't do now because they don't really understand it. It's a measure. Well, God has a measure for you and he has a measure for me. So if we're prophetic people, we will begin to
Amen.
See that, what measure he has. Because he had gifts for those people that were waiting. And he has gifts for the church. That's when the church actually
began.
That's
when it was birthed, yeah.
It was birthed.
Mm-hmm.
So what? And the Spirit was poured out. And,
that's
you know,
right.
They received the baptism of
mm-hmm.
the Holy Ghost. And you know, that's when they went out. That's when they had the power to go out and not go back fishing.
That's right.
And not go back to their old thing.
Old trade, yeah.
Right? Not to pick up the plow and start working
that's
again
right,
in the field.
Right.
Because they had another field to work
right.
in. They had a spiritual field to work in. Because what you talked about earlier, you know, there was a first man, Adam, but he was a soul. But then the second man, Adam, Yeshua, he was the Spirit.
Right.
So the Spirit of God is what we need
Amen.
To cause us to be able to be victorious and to be able to do the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Because it's only by the Spirit can we do things, because we have to listen to the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God will lead us into all truth, and he will keep us and protect us and give us words of wisdom, and he'll guide us. He'll tell us when to go someplace, when not to go someplace. He'll warn us. He does everything. Everything is, we have
sure.
everything. So Yeshua, he told him, he says, you need this Holy Ghost. You need
That's right.
this day of Pentecost. You wait here and tarry. Don't be out of the house. Stay together. Be in one accord. And they were in one accord. See, that's what's wrong with the church today. They're not in one accord.
Well, one believes one thing, somebody else
so
believes something
else.
So
we need to get right back here. And we need to, if we wait and we do listen for the Lord is the one who cleanses us, sanctifies us. And if we just listen to him, then, you know, he's going to guide us and he's going to lead us in all these wonderful things, and we won't get on the wrong path.
Sure. You know what I thought about?
We won't stumble. You know, we may stumble now and then, but you know, we won't get on the wrong path. We'll
stay on
the path that the Lord has led us on. We'll return to the ancient ways it talks about in the Bible too. Returning to the ancient ways. That's what? It's walking in the ways of the Lord, being obedient.
I was thinking about this morning also. Matthew 24, Jesus spoke over there and told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry until they're going to be endued with power. From on high. Well, to think about that. They knew what Pentecost was about.
They knew.
And I thought this morning, thinking about it, I think they were expecting maybe God to speak to them verbally like he did at Mount Sinai over there in chapter 19. He literally spoke. And on the exact same day that God spoke on that mountain, something happened in Acts chapter 2. And I think they were expecting maybe God to literally speak to them. But what did he do? Instead, he empowered them with the Holy Ghost.
And so they could speak.
And empowered them so they could speak on God's behalf. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. We see what God's done with all this.
Awesome.
And we got most of the church doesn't want that today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we can speak on behalf of God. We can hear God's voice and we can declare those things. And so we see all this and we look at this. It's incredible what God put in place. And so our Lord, our master, he had to fulfill every single thing that was written in this book, and that's why he had to do it. Amen?
So now, that the counting of the Omer is an important thing, and you know, much of the church doesn't know too much about it. But we talk about seven Sabbaths would be 7 weeks plus the one.
Uh-huh.
And that brings us back to, I guess it would be another Sunday, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was on a Sunday, first day of the week.
So then that, when the Spirit was poured out,
mm-hmm.
you know, they all were in one accord. They began to speak in tongues. And I think when they were in that upper, this is my thought, is when they were in that upper room, they don't know exactly where it's at, but there's an upper room over there. When you go to Jerusalem, you know, you can go in that upper room. And when we were there, and you just...
We don't know for sure where it was at, but we were there.
But, you know, you just feel the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Think how many saints have been in there.
Whoa,
you know, they prayed
hallelujah.
And,
that's right.
Prayed in the Holy Ghost, and how many mm-hmm. tours and people have gone into there and preached the gospel. You know, there's an anointing in that room.
That's
so,
right.
You know, so I believe that they, when they got that baptism of the Holy Ghost, they were all praising God in their heavenly language.
That's
you know, people heard them.
They were in
but
one
then
accord.
When Peter went out, I think Peter had a special language,
yeah.
which was a one that would be interpreted, and many people understood it in their own language.
Yeah.
You know, because we talk about that when we teach about spiritual gifts, because mm-hmm. we have spiritual gifts. We all have a prayer language if we've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you know it's a gift. So it's not something that some people can have and some people can't have. It's a gift. It's a free gift. But when a word of prophecy comes forth, which is like what happened when Peter went out, his prayer language was interpreted,
right.
And everyone understood what he was saying because he was preaching about the Lord and about the power of God. You know,
that's right.
Awesome, because that's where the power lies. And Jesus told him, you need to be endued with power from where?
On high.
On high.
That's right.
From heaven.
Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I'll go a little bit further in this. We're talking about the resurrection out from among the dead, and also what those that will be caught away. I don't like the word rapture. It's not in the Bible. It's a catching away. It tells you that over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They're caught away. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go look at this a little bit. And Don had mentioned this. I'm going to start in verse 45 of chapter 15. It says this, "And so it is written," Paul said, "the first Adam was made what? A living soul?"
That's right.
"And the last Adam was made what? A quickening spirit.
He
brings spiritual life. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual."
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the natural right now, but we can be spiritual. But our body's going to be transformed, and we'll truly, truly be a spiritual being at that time, won't we?
Right. But we have the Spirit of God.
That's
so
right.
We can be that. We have Yeshua in us. Amen. He's Spirit.
That's right.
It says he's a quickening spirit. So what is that quickening spirit? When we have when we're born again, we have the quickening spirit.
Amen.
That leads us into what? All truth.
All truth.
Now, truth will make us free.
Free. Verse 47 then says, "The first man," this is Adam, "is of the earth," earthly. "The second man is the Lord from heaven." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeshua. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. Right now, we're earthly. Don and I are earthly right now, and you and I are listening. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Remember, Paul told us that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ right
That's
now
right.
in the Spirit.
So we're in both places, aren't
That's
we?
That's right. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear what? The image of the heavenly.
We'll
be transformed one day. Now this I say, brethren, this is the key part, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now he says this, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. Now, Paul got all this, we know, from the Lord. He was out in the Arabian desert. You can read that over in Galatians, in the first chapter, for 3 years or so. And he got all this mystery was revealed
Amen.
To him. So he says, I'm going to show you a mystery. Now think about this. Paul was a Pharisee. So the resurrection was not a mystery to him. Now the Sadducees didn't believe in that, but Paul greatly did. And so we have to go with what he told us here. So he was a Pharisee. So he was revealing here. All the Pharisees believe there's going to be a resurrection one day. And so he says, I'm going to show you a mystery about this. Listen to it. He says, we shall not all sleep. We're not all going to be dead, okay? But we shall what? All be what? Changed, okay? Or we're going to be transformed. One day when the resurrection, the catching away comes, everyone, the dead in the grave and the people on the earth will be what? Transformed into a supernatural body. Now listen to this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that quick, just that quick, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This is over in Isaiah chapter 25, I think, verse 8. Now listen to verse 55. Paul's writing this. O death, this comes from Isaiah, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? When we're in Yeshua, death should have no sting, okay? O grave, where is thy victory? Why? O grave, where is thy victory? Because there's going to be a resurrection. If you die, we're going to come out. Hallelujah. And then he says, the sting of death is what? Is sin. And the strength of sin is what? Is the law or the Torah. That revealed what was right and wrong. Now, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, this is for everyone listening to this program, brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, because Yeshua came out, well, then what's going to happen? We're going to have a resurrection. We just read this earlier in 1 Corinthians 15. If he didn't raise from the dead, well, then certainly we would not. But he did, and he came out on the third day. So guess what? You and I are going to be resurrected. I believe it's from the fourth scripture show. At the beginning of the third day. Hallelujah. That's when it's that last, from the time that Yeshua died, went back to be with his father, we're going to go 2,000 years. And then what's going to happen after that 2,000 years? And we're almost at that point. What's going to happen? The millennial kingdom would be put in place. It is amazing to see what God has given them. These are all patterns in here. So this was a mystery he told them, that all would die. There's going to be a group of people that will be alive on this earth when Yeshua comes back to have the resurrection out from among the dead, those that will come out, and then we that remain are alive in Yeshua, walking with him, what? We will be what? We will be changed and caught away off the earth at the last trump. And I've talked about this before. The last trump is the last trump that's blown on Rosh Hashanah. It's the one, the big, big, big shofar that's blown 100 times during the day. The 100th time is called the awakening blast, and they do it 2 days in a row. So this is all here for us to understand this. Now, thinking about this, let's go all the way back to the beginning, Pastor Donna. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 1 with you. Come on, let's go with it. If you're at home, open up your Bible. If not, you can listen. We have this right in the beginning. We've talked about this a lot on the program over the years, that God has a 7,000-year program to what? Restore mankind in the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Now, we've gone almost 6,000 years. We're getting very close to this. But we have this 7,000-year plan revealed right in Genesis chapter 1. If we have a prophetic mind and see what happens here, well, we could realize what God's trying to tell us. And the Jewish people figured this out a long time ago, okay? Now, where I want to start at, I want to go down to verse 9 in Genesis 1. Now, this is going to be talking about the third day. I'm going to say it again. The third day. The third day is very important. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land, he named it what?
Earth.
That's what we're sitting on right now, the earth. And gathering together, and the gathering together of the waters, called he what? Seas. We have the Indian Ocean, the sea, the Pacific Ocean, those are all seas. And God saw that what? That it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth what? Grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree there yielding the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. Now we got all this GMO stuff going on now. We got a mixture going. It has to be after our kind. Watermelon, if it don't have black seed, something's wrong, right? Something's wrong there. All right, but it's after his kind. Now, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind again, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. He keeps mentioning this. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were what? The third day. Now think about this.
See, the enemy's trying to destroy life.
Sure is.
From the womb of a mother to the seeds of a watermelon. You know, without you have a watermelon and it has no seeds, you have no reproduction.
That's right.
There's no life. Mm-hmm. And so what? The enemy, the devil, is, and he uses people. And people think they're making that watermelon better.
That's
it's
right.
Not better. Mm-hmm. It's really, it's dead.
That's
because
right.
Because there's no life in it.
That's right. So they played around with it, with the genetic makeup of watermelon.
But how can people's minds be so fooled to think that doing these things with our food and with everything else is going to make things better?
It's going to mess up
death.
Our health and our health.
It brings death. And in that's time, right. You know, if they didn't have a way to I don't know what they do. I don't understand all that. But if there'd be no reproduction, maybe someday there'd be no more watermelons, you know?
That's right. Who knows?
No life.
And
no
also,
life.
It affects our health. We're eating things that are not healthy.
Right? That's right.
Well, now let's go on. We want to get to this. Verse 14 says this, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament, mm-hmm. firmament, this means in the heavens, of the heaven, to divide the day from the night. So we have what? The sun for the day, and we have the moon at night. We just had this blood moon this week.
That's right.
And let them be what? For signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. These are talking about God's appointed times.
This is why this Bible is according to, and prophecy is according to the moon.
Lunar calendar.
And you don't worship the sun god.
That's right.
You know, what did all these other pagans
right.
worship?
A lot of them
sun
did.
Sun god, a lot
yeah.
of them.
The Egyptians did that greatly, didn't they? Now, mm-hmm. verse 15
and where
says,
did God deliver them from?
That's right.
Egypt.
That's right.
So they should have left all those idols back in Egypt.
There.
But what did they do? They took some of that stuff with them.
Right.
And you know,
we've established our calendar on the sun instead of on the moon, didn't we?
And so everybody wants to hang on to some of their idols.
Their old ways.
We gotta let those idols, those things go, because they don't glorify God.
That's
and
right.
they bring death into our lives.
Now verse 15 says, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth.
Yes.
And it was so. And God made two great lights. Listen to this. The greater light to rule the day. What's that? The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also out there to show us things.
And you know every star is different?
That's right.
And they sing.
That's right. That's what the Bible says. Go read Psalms what? 19. Mm-hmm. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give them what? Light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night. Now listen to this. And to divide what? The light
from
the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day.
So he didn't give them to us to worship them.
No.
And that's what the enemy has done. People worship them.
Right.
Worship them.
So we know what we think about people being in darkness means they don't have the knowledge of God.
That's
they're not
right.
born again. They're not saved. But remember, the light is showing that we know the Lord. We've been born again. And the light will what? Dispel all darkness. And so that's what Yeshua came. Now this was on the fourth day. And in my book, if you get my book, we proved over there from the time that Adam was on the earth, exactly 4,000 years from the time that Adam was on the earth, and we just did it. It was done with the Bible, nothing else. We prove that Yeshua came at the end of 4,000 years. So each one of these days in Genesis represents a period of 1,000 years. Amen. Well, we know the sixth day.
So he began the fifth day.
That's right.
And then the sixth day, and now we're
almost to the seventh day.
Almost to the
That's
seventh
right.
day.
And so we read all this, and you find this out, and then God made man, what, on the sixth day. And so we're going to end 6,000 years. It's interesting to think about it. And then God's going to do something very special on this earth. So this is all right here in the Bible. He wants us to know this. And so his plan is in place. And we don't, for some reason, we don't see all this, but we should. But we have to have God's mind, how he established all this on a lunar calendar and all that. And that's how they determine their months every month.
So we're so close to the seventh day.
That's right.
It's almost like you can reach out there and touch it.
Really close. So the resurrection is so important, and aren't we glad that Yeshua came out of the grave?
We should be looking up.
Right.
We should be watching.
Right.
Now what I want to coming.
What
it tells us to do that in
right.
the book of Revelation.
Right.
That we should watch.
That's right. What I want to say about this here, about the third day, was Yeshua was in, it says right here, that I'm going to read verse 11 again here in chapter 1 of Genesis. Let
mm-hmm.
the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth. Yeshua went into the grave.
That
remember,
was the third
he
day.
Did not have any, he had no corruption in his body. He wasn't beginning to rot, in other
That's
words.
That's right.
All right. And what happened? On the third day, what? He came out of the grave. He was the seed that went in that produced all the people in the world that came to the Messiah. You and I, Pastor Donna, are part of that, okay? So it's incredible we see this. And so he was the one that fulfilled. So he came out on the third day. So listen to this. That means you and I are going to come out on a third day also, okay? It won't be 24-hour days.
Some will come out of the grave and that's some will be changed.
That's right. And some of them will remain in that grave for another 1,000 years until the kingdom's over because of
the ungodly.
The ungodly. And so we're going to come out on the third day. It's incredible just to think about it. So the resurrection that we're going to talk about tomorrow and all is so important. I hope the church really gets into some things. And, you know, we know Jesus was incredible, what happened with him and how God chose him to be rose from the grave and all that on first fruits. And he is the first fruits of the resurrection. So because he came out, as we said, we're going to come out also. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
And it's going to be, and it tells you in 1 Corinthians, it's going to be in the proper order, in fact.
God's order.
In fact, I'm going to go read that real quick before we, and I have, Donna's got some things she wants to talk about. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read one verse with you here. Now listen to this. This is very key. This whole chapter is what? Defending the resurrection. Like this, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to what it says.
Thank you,
but
Lord.
Every man in his own order, hear this, Christ the firstfruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Means when he comes in the sky, okay? It's incredible. So he is the first fruits, every man in his own order. And a lot of people don't know this, Pastor Donna. There's more than one resurrection in the Bible. Not a catching away. There's five different events I see in the Bible that happen at different times referring to people being resurrected. It's in the Bible. Maybe we'll get into that next week. We don't have time to do that today. But it's an incredible study. And see, God's given this entire Bible is for us to understand and comprehend what he wants us to know about these last days. We are not to be in darkness. We got a phone call coming already. We're not to be in darkness in any way, shape, or form. God wants us to know that we are not in darkness. Now I'm going to close with this, I believe. I'm going to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you got your Bible, you're at home, well, you can turn there. If you're out in the car, you'll just have to listen. And if you want to order a CD from this, all we ask for is a love offering. You can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip here is 34995. Let us know whether you want a CD or a tape, and we'll get it out to you. So this is where I want to close here, okay? This is incredible when we think about all this. I'm in chapter 5. Of 1 Thessalonians. Listen to this. This is for
Amen.
You listeners. We hear all this on the news. I don't know the news. On Christian news and on the radio on Christian things and all that. That we're going to go through the tribulation. Or you're going to go halfway through. Or you're going to be taken out prior to the pre-wrath, in other words, and all that. But I want to read this with you. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5:1 says this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. He was referring to them about the times and the seasons of God's appointed times and what the seasons of the year they were going to come. They knew all that.
Now, verse 2, in Genesis chapter 1.
That's
we
right.
Read that.
We just read that. Now, verse 2 says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. All right?
Some people stop there and they don't read the rest of it.
They don't read the rest of it. So
they don't know their Bible.
Yeah, he's going to come as a thief in the night. But listen to this. Verse 3, for when they, that means those that don't know the Lord, for mm-hmm. they shall say peace and safety. Isn't that when the Jacob's trouble is going to come?
Mm-hmm.
Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail. Travail is talking about Jacob's trouble.
That's right.
Birth pangs of the Messiah. Travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But listen to this. I love the buts and the suddenlies in the Bible.
I like ye. That means you all.
But ye, you all, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You hear that?
That's right.
Going to know the times and the season. That's what he said in verse 1.
We need to
ye
know.
Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Aren't you glad? Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and what? And
be sober.
Be alert and self-controlled. For they that sleep, what? Sleep in the night. And they that are drunken in the night. And that's when all the partying goes on at night. But let us who are of the day be what? Sober again. You know, being patient, self-control, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Amen.
Now, verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, and we are not, going through that time, but to obtain what? Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we born again, we're going to be saved through all this mess.
Amen.
Isn't that incredible? Glory be to God. So we're not appointed to his wrath. We're not going to go through that. He's going to take care of us. We have to remember that. And so there will be that resurrection. And those that believe in Yeshua have been walking with him, not these shallow people. We're talking about the ones that are really walking with him. They have a relationship. They don't say, well, I know him, but they don't have no relationship. Those that have a true relationship will not be here. So we don't have to worry about this. So his wrath is not appointed to any of us that are walking with him. So we need to get on fire with God at this time of the year, start serving him, get into church, learn more, be fed, be a Berean, study the word, find out what God's wanting you to know in this day and this hour. I'm getting excited. I'm ready to preach.
We need to comfort each other with these things.
That's right.
And
that's
edify one another. And what's he say? And the dead, he says, whether they're awake or asleep, we should live together with him.
Absolutely.
Wow, this is so awesome. This is about the changing. Well, we're going to be changing
right.
in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You know, so we need to encourage each other because, you know, those who are with the Lord, those who are in the light, those who are walking in the light, when that day comes, we're going to be caught away. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the seasons because it even tells us back in Genesis 1:1.
That's right.
And he talks about seasons all through the Bible. Mm-hmm. Why don't people talk about the seasons? God has seasons, and we're in a season right now. We're in a season that people can come to the Lord and get born again and believe and begin to learn and to grow in the things of God.
Yeah. He ended chapter 4 there, verse 18, with what? Mm-hmm. Therefore, comfort one another with these words about the catching away the resurrection. And verse 11 in chapter 5, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Isn't that incredible?
Awesome.
So this is about the resurrection. It's incredible. And so it's coming.
The shofar is going to blow.
That's right. It's going to
blow. The trumpet of God's going to blow, and the dead in Christ shall rise
That's
first.
Right.
And then what? It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with
Hallelujah.
Them in the clouds to meet the Lord. The Lord's going to meet us in the clouds. He's not going to be on the earth at that time. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Praise God.
It's incredible.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for the resurrection.
Thank you, Jesus.
So this is a great weekend. Resurrection Day.
Resurrection
Day. Not Easter. It's Resurrection Day.
That's right.
And that's what the church is celebrating.
Use that word. Resurrection Day.
That's the day that... It's Nisan 17 on the lunar Jewish
Praise
calendar. That's
God.
When he came out of the grave and rose. Hallelujah.
Awesome. Praise
Glory
God. Well, this
God.
Is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. I hope you were blessed with this message. If
you'd
like
get
a copy of the CD, you can just give us a call, and we'd love to send you one. If you'd like to come visit us, and we're at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us a call, and we'll give you directions on how you can come and find us. We're pretty easy to find. We're right on Cantor Highway in Stuart, Florida. And the name of the church is Spirit of Prophecy. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is
the
spirit
of
prophecy. That's
Hallelujah.
Revelation 19:10.
That's where
10.
We got the name for the church.
Amen. Worship God. We come together to worship him every week, every Sunday, every Friday, on the Sabbath. So, you know.
Worship him every day.
We worship him. Every day is the day. Every day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Have the joy of the Lord. We need to have the joy of the Lord because we're going to be living in troubled times. And we are, but things aren't going to get any better. They're going to get worse. So as the darkness gets darker and darker, the light's going to get brighter and brighter. Amen?
Right.
So the telephone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
And we want to remember the government cannot change this country.
That's right.
It's going to take Christ in our lives.
That's
going
right.
to cause people to change. That's what we want.
People, godly people.
Now, we talked about some things. You'd like to get the book I wrote about the pictures of the Messiah. And
give us a call. We'll tell you about it.
We'll tell you about it, and you can order, and you'll have a lot of blessing with all of it because
Amen.
Of what we saw and what the Lord showed us. So as we close, we tell you to look
up,
because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor
Shabbat,
John?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath, peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.